tonight's stories.
Give them the money.
Your band.
I don't want that.
Tell a friend.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Comfort Level Podcast. I'm Maddie, and I'm here with...
Brando.
Sam.
Yvonne.
Yvonne!
I'm alive.
Just hit the like and subscribe. Just for that.
Wait, do you guys have numbers that just don't feel right to you?
13.
43. 43 feels gross to
me. Oh, yeah, 43. Oh. 47, I think.
That too.
I like 47, actually.
You do or you don't?
Yeah, I love it.
Oh.
If anybody's any of those ages, let us know in the chat right now, guys.
I also don't want to like 69.
Shout out.
Okay, it just sounds like y'all hate prime numbers. And that's kind of...
No, because I like seven.
Those are odds.
They're prime, too.
Huh?
They can only be divisible by themselves in one.
Sam.
So it's kind of primus to me.
Primus.
Well, I haven't seen you name any numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good vibe with pretty much most
numbers.
You
gotta hate some number. There's one number in your head and you're like...
77.
If this number
was cool, 77 is dope.
77 cold.
Yeah.
If this number got tatted on you, you would hate this number.
51.
That came to you.
No, I like 51 because that was like the station for Cartoon Network.
So. Yeah, okay.
I'm rocking. That's true.
Yeah, okay. Area 51, I've always been behind that.
Breaking into Area 51.
I'm trying to think of a number. There's nothing that's...
You got one?
No. I don't have a bias against numbers.
Mm.
I have some numbers that I like, but...
Okay, what numbers do you like?
I like 7. I like 12. I like 712. I like 4.
That's 7.
I like 24. I like 32.
I wasn't expecting the 7.
Oh, I love a 7.
You don't like 7s, do you?
No.
She's 7-est, actually.
I'm a 6 person.
Okay, so this first story is, am I the asshole for telling my in-laws they couldn't come on my family's annual trip?
Are they not your family?
They're the in-laws. Does that... make a difference?
Or is it like direct family? I think you're the asshole.
Yeah.
Because they're your family.
Mm-hmm. I think the story might be subjective.
Yeah.
I think there's going to be people that are like, no. And I think there's going to be people that are like, you know what? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Actually. Am I the asshole for telling my in-laws they couldn't come on my family's annual trip? My family does an annual family trip. This has been going on since we were kids. There's 14 of us now. The trip consists of my parents, their 5 kids, me and my siblings, and our 3 spouses and 4 grandchildren. My parents used to plan it, now the siblings plan it. It's the yearly opportunity for us to get together, especially now since we've all grown up, some married, and most of us live in different cities across 2 countries. My in-laws don't do any type of family trips or travel. When I first got married, I tried to organize similar trips with them, but their adult kids always made up excuses. They would claim no PTO and no money, but then randomly take trips with their friends. Eventually, I stopped trying. This year, my family is doing a cruise. We have a whole thing planned. We're going to eat all the meals together. We got private restaurant seating, rooms next to each other, decor, a scavenger hunt, a bunch of sightseeing things, and matching fits. Ooh. It's obnoxious, I know, but we love it.
That's family.
And we have planned activities during the cruise. Anyways, after hearing about it, my in-laws asked if they could join my family's annual trip this year, not as separate cruise guests, but as members of our group. I was taken aback by the ask, but immediately tried to shut it down. I couldn't just say outwardly no because I didn't want to hurt their feelings, so I made excuses, hoping they would get the hint. I said, well, if you guys come, then my siblings would have to invite their in-laws too, and it'd be a whole thing. And they were like, oh, you don't have to invite their in-laws, just us. I also said my siblings wouldn't feel at ease with them because they don't know them like that, and they said, OMG, so they'll get to know us like that. This is how we get to know each other better. In our culture, we blend families. And I was trying to find some random excuse, hoping they would get the hint. I didn't say the truth, which is that my family and I wouldn't want them there. We want to enjoy vacation with just us. I live in the same city as my in-laws and I see them weekly. I see my family once a year all together. My family also has a very different vibe from my in-laws. My family is close and has a similar sense of humor, similar interests, and we just have a good time together. We're loud and animated and laugh a lot. I truly enjoy my family's company. I love them, but I also like them as people even if we weren't related. My in-laws are just different. They're more reserved and often feels like pulling teeth when trying to make conversation with them. When my husband and I visit, we sit at the dinner table and sometimes no one will talk the entire time. And then they'll go after dinner and watch TV and just want us to sit there and watch TV with them. My family has met my in-laws and the resounding feedback was, they're nice, but not our vibe. It's their way of being polite. They respect them and will see them out of respect for my husband, but it's definitely not like they're enthusiastic about meeting up with them. Anyways, when I rejected the idea of them joining my family's trip, they seemed really hurt by that fact. They kept saying that it was weird that my family was gatekeeping our annual trip and that we were weird for not wanting to include them. There was a lot of scoffing and defensiveness. My husband was trying to defend and say, hey, every family is different. This is just how they are. But the whole situation got on my nerves. I wanted to say, hey guys, your own kids don't want a vacation with you. Why would my family? This is obviously really rude, and I didn't say it, but I was just in awe at their lack of self-awareness. I did offer to do a separate family cruise. Anyways, I was so put off by the situation. I don't think I'm the asshole, but I wanted to come on here to make sure. Is this normal? Are other families combining in-laws? Reddit, please let me know. Am I the asshole? And then there's edits.
Yeah, I think you're the asshole. It doesn't sound like you don't like your in-laws at all.
Mm-hmm.
With the cruise or without the cruise. I just... Like, a cruise ship is huge, right? Like, you don't have to constantly be around each other. And then also, like, the excuse of, like, oh, my family doesn't know your family. I mean, like, that now is, like, the... I mean, not I wouldn't say the best time, but, like, a good time to have them interact and maybe they'll behave. Your in-laws will behave differently on a cruise ship. But then also...
You can see a different side of them.
Yes, but then also if they're the same, then you're like, well, we've done a trip together and I know I never want to go on a trip with you. Because you're just kind of, like, basing off them not... You're basing off not wanting to invite them on what you know them of in a specific environment.
Right.
Yeah, but I feel like maybe because I've always been like, I want to be like best friends with my in-laws, if that makes sense. Like, I want to be able to call my husband's mom, you know, or dad. Like, so maybe that's why I'm like, why are you not wanting that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, I agree with you. I think you are the asshole. I understand to a certain extent of vacations and want to spending it with people you enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, because it's a cruise, I'm like, this is the perfect kind of vacation to have people you don't quite vibe with.
Facts.
Because it's not, we're all together in a one thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like we're all in a single
resort
where we're all in the same spot. Like a cruise, there's so many people.
So many excursions. Yeah. Like,
and we've been on some big cruises with a lot of people. And I'm like, I could tell you I didn't like all the people that was in my group, but... You didn't actually have to do anything with them. Or there's other people, the amount of people they said was going on this cruise, I'm like, there's enough people that there's buffers between everything.
Yeah.
So I think I like your approach of like, let's take this as a trial run. This is the best kind of trial run. We got tons of people.
Mm-hmm.
Even if there's some awkward moments, I bet you we're still going to have a good time because we're a fun family.
Yeah.
There is upside that potentially you do see the other side of the in-laws and you're like, oh, they just needed to give them that cruise, that island time or
break
something.
The ice. Warm it.
And I think it's always good to not make more divisions with your in-laws.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's always going to be something different because everyone has two different families. They might be similar in some ways, but they're two different things. So anything that isolates them more is bad to me.
Yeah.
And if they want to go on the trip, I'm like, you're coming on the trip.
Yeah.
I agree with you. You don't really get along with your in-laws, and this is an opportunity to get to know a different side of them. The simple truth is the in-laws are going to be in your life for a long time because you've married their children. So, you know, it would suit you best to try and at least try.
Mm-hmm.
And like Sam was saying too, I think this is the perfect opportunity because, heck, on a cruise, if you don't like who you're talking to, you literally, like at dinner, you can go talk to the stranger at the next table. Mm-hmm. Like you are so not obligated to interact with anybody from your party, because there's so many opportunities to talk to different people. And when everybody's on a cruise, it's like it's a vibe. Like everybody just wants to have fun. So meeting new people is not even that hard to do. So it's like, this is like literally the perfect vacation for it, because there's just so many ample opportunity for you to actually just branch out if you don't like who you're with.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would say to at least try. Like, that's the thing. Just try. You don't know what could turn out. And if it does turn out bad, like, you know, it's an annual trip. So it's like you still have time to do other trips. You still have other opportunities to have the trip you want to have.
As someone who's been on a cruise with a lot of different types of people too, I can kind of get where you guys are coming from. Of, I honestly think it's not too hard to bring in people that are you're not as close to, especially it sounds like they like to be in your presence, but they don't really have much to say. Like, that would kind of be perfect for a cruise, because there's like entertainment happening all the time.
Yeah.
And you don't have to say anything.
Nope.
And so I do agree with what you guys are saying. It would be a different environment to see them in. Also, sitting at a table with like 26 to like 30 people, you do have other people you can talk to for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, I don't know. Cause even the son, like her husband is like, I don't know if you guys want to go like that. I don't know what it is about them for them to be like, no, we're not going to form the things. So I get where she's coming from.
Yeah.
Personally, I could see blending, because that's also something I would agree with you three. I would definitely do that as well.
Yeah.
Cruise is the perfect time to do it, because you can walk away even if there's things planned. I haven't been on a cruise where it's been so like we're wearing the same shirts. I've seen it where we eat dinner together almost every single night, but not the activities all the time, not the rooming right next to each other.
Yeah.
So, but I get where she's coming from.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't think it's a bad either way, to be honest.
Well, to me, I think it also changes it, because the son is the way he's like kind of doesn't care seemingly as much that his parents come. If this was a different situation, I don't know if this would be the hill I would die on.
Mm.
Like, this is the hill I would choose to be like. Because I do think there's going to be natural conflict with in-laws.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is what I'm like, I'm staying, you can't come. I'm like, I think there's other more important things that maybe you would disagree on that you would want to stand up on. This is an olive branch kind of thing to me.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I don't know the kind of families who are like, we do it this specific way. It's like different to me than a family reunion. You know what I mean? We're all together. It's just us in this space.
Yeah.
And we have traditions and stuff. And like, that might be weird to encroach on. But a vacation that's like a public thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is no different than if they did. They're saying it would be different if they came as guests on the cruise. Like, they were still in the same.
That's what they think. Yeah. So maybe not rooming together. Maybe not dinner together. Maybe not the scavenger hunts together. The games. That's so, like, they just kind of see them in passing.
I think it's just kind of causing conflict for no reason to me.
Yeah. Were you going to say that, like, let's say if her husband was objective to it, that's a hill you don't want to die on?
Yeah.
I agree. I think if the husband was, like, upset about it, I would be like, it's fine.
Yeah.
But.
And I'm also, like, curious, because she said, like, at the beginning, she would extend an invite to them, and specifically their children would say, they don't have PTO, they can't afford it. Not that the parents, I'm assuming the parents wouldn't go because of their children not going. But like, what is the, like, why are you now refusing for them to go if you used to extend the offer to them?
Yeah.
Well, they were saying they were like, we want to start a tradition with y'all side, but my family, this is our thing.
Yeah.
And they shall not meet.
Then why get married?
Well, he can come. The husband can come.
Yeah.
They said spouses and grandkids can come, but that's it.
It's interesting when those types of families meet.
Yeah.
Because I literally have seen families before where they think it is like they're going to mix together.
Mm-hmm.
But the other side is like, oh, well, he or she mixes with us.
Yeah.
But not you.
Right.
Like, him and her, they go in between us and you and us and you. Mm-hmm. They don't really blend. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like, I guess the word is culture shock when you realize that you're marrying to a family that's not a blended type. And you're like, oh, okay.
Because some people got families. They family. Right, and some people are like, I know them.
Yeah.
I know of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we don't do things together. It's not, we're not a thingy together kind of family.
We're on a first name basis.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
I don't know.
But yeah, because like in my M&E job, there's someone who was like, yeah, I haven't talked to my brother in a few years. And then maybe talk to my mom once a month. No, once a year. I'm like, I'm always texting my sister. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
I just, yeah. But it's always just a different dynamics.
Having already gone on cruises with Brandon's family and bringing my mom, like, and friends and family, it doesn't feel like an issue, but maybe there's people that didn't grow up where they like blend. And also the other thing too, is I'm wondering, you know, they try to do it on the other side. Maybe the in-laws are like, we're boring. And we've seen this woman that you brought into our lives, Chatifer, and she's such a fun woman to be around, and we've met her family before. They are a hoot and a holler,
right?
And we would love to go on this cruise with you guys. What do you say?
That's sign what I feel up. Like it is.
Yeah,
I think they're like, we want to hang out with you guys,
because they are just more reserved, but they like to be around the fun people.
I 100% think it's that, because there's no, why would they invite themselves on if they didn't want to hang out with the family?
Yeah. And they're
like,
persistent.
We want to be a part. We want the shirts. They're saying we want to be a part of it.
Yes.
And because I do think it's interesting how they're like, we don't want to do it with our family. That makes me think, coming from some families, listen, parts of my family are boring and I get it. They just want to sit and chill. I get that. But then you meet like a certain like friend's family or something and they're like, they are so fun. Yeah. I want to be around them. Maybe that's what it is. That's what they're jumping ship from their family. And they're like, we want to come to your guys' family reunion or annual family vacation.
And meanwhile, we is family.
And we do want the shirts.
I don't care if it's in-laws. That's family to
me. It's by marriage. Yeah. We're family now.
We chose to be a part of this even more. Y'all don't even get to choose.
Yeah.
We're in the club. We all fam.
Mm-hmm.
I remember living in the club. On our last big cruise, that's what we kept saying every single time.
In the club, we all fam.
It was a bad time.
It was an interesting time.
The cruise is organized by your parents to get their kids, partners, and grandkids all together. It's not about your family, it's their trip. If your in-laws want to do something similar, then you'd be happy to help plan it, but they aren't included for this trip. Tell them you're incredibly flattered and love spending time with them, but this trip is not about them and it's not organized by you, not the asshole. Somebody else said, this is the answer. They put in quotes, it's a trip that my parents organized to spend time with their kids. What do you think about that answer before I read the edit?
I would agree with that answer if they asked the parents about it.
Like if the parents were like, I don't care if the in-laws come?
If the parents said, do not let them come, then that's different to me than OP stopping it.
Yeah. And I mean, and I would argue like, yeah, the parents started it because they were too young to be able to plan it. But the kids now plan it. So it's not necessarily the parents' cruise or trip, if that makes sense. Because the ownership of the responsibilities is no longer really on them.
Yeah. I mean, I do get where the commenter is coming from, but I also think that the in-laws ask is like harmless, but I think that they don't like the in-laws, so they just don't like them.
Actually, the only way I would be on board with this approach is if one person was paying for it. Like the grandparents were like, I fly my kids in, I fly their spouses in, I fly that in. Mm-hmm. Then that's completely different to me. They were like, yeah, this is the thing. There's investment. There's a financial thing in it. And they get to choose who they want to come.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if it's all cruising, I'm guessing they're all paying their own way
separately.
Then it's literally just time. It's adding stuff to me. I'm like, why are you doing all this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this is a person who loves being with the people I want to be with. And I don't really want to be with strangers. Even I would be like, why wouldn't they still are part of our family? Mm-hmm. Why not allow them in?
Yeah.
I'm the kind of person who doesn't like adding a bunch of random people, but I would do this.
Yeah.
Because I think it's only a net positive from doing it. And there's nothing really positive coming out from shutting them out.
Mm-hmm.
And if it turned out bad, It's a cruise. It's a cruise. Just ignore them.
Yeah.
Throw them overboard.
You only see them an hour at dinner, if that, like.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. But I'm also curious, like, so with the spouses, right? Like, would they only get an invitation if they're married? Like, if a sibling has a boyfriend, is that, like, no?
Maybe it's like, maybe they need to be long term, or maybe it depends on if the child wants to invite them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then I'm saying, like, I feel like that shows they're flexible and it doesn't really matter who.
Yeah. That's where I just think bottom line, they just don't like them. Like, yeah, nobody likes the in-laws.
They're like, now you're just adding things.
Yeah. Adding things to just be like, we don't like
in-law
you.
In-law relationships, I've heard, are tough.
Yeah. But you got to suck it up.
Yeah.
Okay, edit. For those who are asking where my husband was in all of this, he was there and he was helping me make excuses for why they couldn't come. That's where the scoffing was coming from. He was like, hey, this is how their family likes it. And they kept scoffing, going, well, they need to expand. In our culture, family comes together. My husband loves my family's annual trips and my family loves him. He's not the same as his parents. Hell, I'd even be open to my siblings-in-law coming on the trip, if I'm being honest, because they're chill and they would do their own thing. It's my husband's parents that are the issue. And listen, I know I sound like a jerk. Maybe if I enjoyed their company, we would invite them. But my in-laws would force me and my husband to sit with them, guilt us into hanging out with them. I'd be forced to revolve my vacation around them. And that's not my idea of a good time. I go on this trip to see my family.
That's not.
That's that.
Dang. Yeah, you just don't like them.
Yeah, it just does not seem like their personalities mesh at all.
I do get the whole, the second half of what she said. I think that was kind of valid. The,
forcing us to hang out with them, yeah, all the time.
Because it's like, as good as we think it could turn out, mm-hmm, if it does turn out bad, she still does, I wouldn't say have to obligate, but it's like the guilt trip thing, because the husband's going to feel like, well, they're here now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I should probably hang out with them. And that in turn would be like, well, you're my husband. So,
mm-hmm,
in a perfect world, we're like, it'd be a good trip. But I think we did not necessarily talk about what if it's a bad trip, mm-hmm, because of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess would it change your perspective if, like, she was like, these are the guidelines, the boundaries, like, don't expect that we're going to be always to get there, but it, like, said in a nice way.
I don't think that's the worst thing in the world to say.
Yeah,
of, like,
setting boundaries is cool.
We kind of like to do our own. Maybe don't be like, yeah, hey, don't plan on hanging out with us all the time.
Yeah.
But basically being like, we like to do our own things. There's, yeah, a lot of shows that we can, like, point you in the direction of. And sometimes if you want to go to the same show, we can.
Mm-hmm.
But we're probably going to, like, be just doing random stuff all the time. We can't even tell you what we're going to do because we don't know.
Yeah. But so we'll always see each other at dinner.
Yeah, like, trying not to, like, lock yourself down of, like, well, yeah, what are you doing today? We don't know. We're thinking, we're going to decide on it, like, with the wind at our, what is that saying? The wind of our pants? What's that saying?
Seat of our pants.
Seat of our pants.
We're at the seat of our pants? What do they say?
Flying by the seat
flying
of our pants.
We're flying by, thanks, yeah, Sam. We're flying by the seat of our pants. And there's wind in them.
Support for today's episode comes from Square, the business platform that helps sellers become neighborhood favorites. Whether you're gearing up for a busy season or just trying to keep up with everyday demand, Square keeps your business running smoothly, from payments and POS to online orders, inventory, staff, and more, all in one place so you can focus on your customers and not your to-do list. Ready to grow or streamline how you run things? Square is offering listeners up to $200 off Square hardware when you sign up at square.com/go/CLP. Again, square.com/go/CLP. Start with Square and build a setup that grows with your business. I see Square everywhere I go. Farmers markets, my favorite local restaurant, even my hairstylist. Checkouts are always easy and fast for me as a customer. Square brings payments, POS, inventory, staffing, and online sales together in one system, so business owners don't have to juggle a bunch of tools. Their hardware and software are designed to be easy to use, so day-to-day operations feel simpler. My hairstylist was telling me, as a business owner, she also loves Square. It's been a positive experience with Square being able to handle some of the aspects of her business so she can focus on the part she loves. Square now offers three clear plans: free, Plus, and Premium, so you can pick the tools you need and grow into more when you're ready. Square helps you run your business more smoothly, bringing payments, operations, and insights together in one place, so you're ready for whatever's next. Right now, listeners can get up to $200 off Square Hardware when you sign up at square.com/go/CLP. That's SQUARE.com/go/CLP. Get started with Square and build a setup that works the way you do. Thanks to our sponsor, Square, for this message. And thank you to our listeners for supporting this podcast. Am I the asshole for banning my friend's kids from our lake house?
No. It's your lake house.
That's probably the reason why you did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kids be kidding nowadays, too.
Kids be kidding.
Nowadays, like the stuff that they be doing as pranks and having the internet access, it's like, it's bad.
Am I the asshole for banning my friend's kids from our lake house? A friend of my husband called him and asked if her kids could go to the house to do some fishing. We expected her to come with them. They were supposed to bring their fishing equipment. She did not stay. She dropped them off and left. She actually dropped off one of her sons with his friend, a kid that we don't know. The children forgot their equipment and took my husband's rods and fishing gear. On top of that, they got into the kayak without permission. I do not blame the kids as they're kids. They went to the middle of the lake and flipped the kayak, almost drowning, and lost all of my husband's fishing gear. The neighbor rescued them as I was not home yet or aware of this whole situation. She's now blaming it on the friend of her kid as she knows her son. I called her furious and banned her and the kids, the husband, and pets from the property and demanded reimbursement. She's acting as if I'm being irrational. Am I the asshole?
Heck no.
No.
Heck to the no. That's a liability on the homeowner.
Yeah, she could get in trouble for that.
Yeah.
Something so negligent, too. Like, you don't even know what's happening, and next thing you know, you're like, yeah, some kids drowned in your lake. What?
Yeah, no, that's crazy.
Yeah, they were using your kayak, and they had your husband's fishing equipment. I had no idea this was happening.
Yeah. So then I'm like, was the husband home?
I guess maybe not.
That's insane.
And if he was, maybe he wasn't, like, outside, because he thought that the
mom was.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's insane.
Mm-hmm. And do you guys fish at all? I do not know how expensive fishing equipment is, but I guess I guess maybe there. Like $500 to $1,000.
Especially if it's like,
so not cheap.
One of those.
Yeah.
If it's got like the good, I can't even think of it, but I've seen them at like Shields and stuff. They're not cheap.
I do know, you know, as you get older, you start having hobbies and put money into those hobbies. So I assume probably is pretty expensive, but whatever it was.
Yeah, especially if you have a lake house. Again.
Yeah, me too.
I've never been fishing.
Apparently I went fishing when I was younger, but I don't remember it.
Mm-hmm. I used to go with my grandpa.
Yeah.
Sam, have you been fishing before?
Yeah, with my grandpa.
Top comment, not the asshole. I bet the poor friend's parents had no idea he would be unsupervised. And OP responded, the kid called his dad and he was like, who are you? That was very uncomfortable. Something happens and I get sued by someone I don't even know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Am I the asshole for telling my friend he can come to our outings, but his girlfriend with OCD can't?
I know there's like different forms of OCD, and the only one that I've ever experienced is like the one that everything has to be clean, and that's like my mom, but like her OCD doesn't leave the house.
Right.
So I don't know.
Yeah, I'm really wondering why. Why are you not inviting them? Because I feel like that's where I can figure out if you're the asshole or not.
Yeah.
Why?
Because if it's like a bad reason, it's like, yo, that's low-key ableist, right?
Yeah. And I'm like, has she actually been diagnosed with OCD?
Mm-hmm. Am I the asshole for telling my friend he can come to our outings, but his girlfriend with OCD can't? So I'll try to be brief. I, 20 female, have a group of friends I've known since school. We don't see each other often anymore because adulting is chaotic, but we try to get together every 2 months or so. There's about 6 people in this group, including Mark, 22 male, who recently got a girlfriend who I'll call Sarah, 21 female. Sarah has bad OCD and has a load of rules to what she can and can't tolerate, which originally wasn't a problem. Some of us are also neurodivergent / have conditions that required adaption, so we adapted our outings whenever she wanted to come, since she was polite and nice. everything was fine for a few months until one of our friends casually asked about my dermatitis and if it was better. I have contact dermatitis, which is not contagious in any way, shape, or form, but it flares up often. Sarah heard and deemed me to be a contaminated person. Ever since then, she's been treating me like I'm the plague. She won't touch anything I have touched. She won't sit near me. She'll make a disgusted face anytime I'm around, which at first I took. She has a condition. I don't care what she does, but she's starting to do it to other people, like warning people not to sit near me. And once at a restaurant, told a waiter to be careful not to touch me when he handed me my glass, or he would contaminate himself and everyone he served. At this point, me and everyone in the group are incredibly bothered by it, and one of our other friends even told her and Mark that she can do what she wants, but it's shitty to keep saying that to people. Here's where I may be the asshole. We're planning our next get-together, and I told the group that if Sarah was coming, I wouldn't go. I don't deserve to be treated like a monster for something entirely out of my control and harmless to others and be shamed for it. Since the group was already bothered, we all decided that Mark was welcome, but we didn't want Sarah around until she dealt with that fear. He wasn't online at the time, so I texted him in private, explained that Sarah was making everyone uncomfortable, and we prefer she didn't come until she could work through at least not telling everyone not to touch me. I also said we understand if he didn't want to come without her. She's his girlfriend after all, and he has to support her. Well, a few hours later, he blew up, called me an ableist asshole, said Sarah had seen the messages and hadn't stopped crying, and then blocked all of us when he saw the group had agreed. Am I the asshole? Should I not have said anything to the group and just pretend I didn't hear it?
No.
Yeah, that was really mean what she's doing.
Yeah, really mean and isolating. And
it's not ableist when you've involved her and she's just intentionally been trying to isolate you.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And also, contact dermatitis is not infectious.
Yeah.
You can't pass it on. I've had it.
Mm-hmm.
And you randomly can get it from, like, nothing.
What is it?
It's like your skin gets... Let me look it up, actually.
I'm going to read top comment while you look that up. Okay, so top comment. Unfortunately, she's making her fear not just everyone else's problem, but is actually being rude and bad-mannered about it. And I cannot understand why she doesn't know that. OCD doesn't make you rude, and OCD is her condition to manage. Her boyfriend can support her all he likes, but it doesn't make her behavior right. So, no, not the asshole.
Yeah, because it's not like OCD is different than some autism disorders where, like, they might not understand the socially what they're doing. Mm-hmm. They're just like, I'm just being straightforward and honest.
Yeah.
Even if it was someone autistic doing this, you could still have the same effect where you're like, I'm telling you this is not how it makes, like, this is not true what you think, and the way you're going about it is very rude by spreading this out. Like, you can still tell anyone that. And if they choose not to do it, then you're basically bullying me while we're being around. Like, why would I want to be around it?
Mm-hmm.
So I get the boyfriend blowing up because, well, you got to ride with your girlfriend. But also, I'm like, this is a consequence.
Mm-hmm.
And your OCD doesn't, like, override you being a good human being to other people.
Yeah.
So.
Sam, I agree. Okay, so contact dermatitis is a red, itchy skin rash that happens when your skin touches a substance that irritates it or causes an allergic reaction. So triggers, some irritant triggers could be harsh soaps, detergents, dishwashing liquids, frequently washing hands, or long exposure to water. So I got it last year because I randomly got allergic to an ingredient that's in a lot of toothpaste. And I didn't know. So I would, like, break out. But yeah, contact dermatitis. That's can happen anything. And you're not the asshole.
It seems like she's just isolating OP out too.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's the best course of action just to bring that up front. Yeah, it feels like bullying in a sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so to be isolated in a community that's already very accepting of all of those things is a different level. Because it's like, where do you feel safe after that?
Yeah.
To literally, like, tell other people, like, hey, actually don't touch her or else you can contaminate the rest of this restaurant. Right.
Yes.
And I get the friend saying, like, where does the OCD come into that?
Uh-huh.
Where does the OCD say you say that to people?
Yeah.
What does that have to do with that?
Yeah. It might be like a fear that you're having in your head.
Right.
But it's not fair to put that on her to make her feel bad about something that, like you said, it's not spreading and it's not like she can do anything about it.
Yeah. And I feel like as the person who has the OCD, it's your responsibility to determine if you'll interact with them or not. Like, if you're that fearful and you know she's going to be there, like, don't go, even though it's totally fine. It's not a contagious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This next story is, am I the asshole for offering to buy my parents a home instead of just giving them the money?
Nah. Some people just don't know what they're doing with the money.
Yeah, I feel
it's
like
better to give them the asset.
Yeah, gift is a gift. You don't get asked what kind of gift you get.
Right. Mm-hmm.
My husband and I live in the Great Lakes region. We're both professionals and we have children in high school / college. We've done reasonably well and have built up significant savings, but definitely not wealthy enough that $300,000 is money that we can just give away. My parents are in a bad financial situation. They own a home, but are heavily in debt on it. So they live in the basement and they rent out the main floor. They believe they have about $400,000 in equity. We think they're being wildly optimistic. They have a large mortgage with significant penalties, a HELOC, and property value has fallen. We think they'd be lucky to walk away with $200,000, possibly much less. Earlier this year, they found an apartment they liked for around $300,000 and asked us to co-sign a loan to buy it. We refused because of their financial history. Instead, we offered to buy the apartment ourselves and let them live there for a fraction of market rent. They loved the idea. We just needed several months to arrange our finances. This is still a major commitment for us. We have children and our own retirement to fund. The reason we can justify spending $300,000 is that we would own the property. We'd essentially be moving part of our retirement savings into real estate while giving my parents secure, affordable housing. Eventually, we could sell it to fund our retirement. We finally got everything arranged and we told them we were ready. Now they decided the apartment they wanted 6 months ago is too small and they couldn't possibly live there. Instead, they found a much more expensive condo they like. The condo fees alone are like $1,100 a month. They insist they can afford it because they're counting on getting $400,000 from their house. The problem is that now they seem to think the money we were preparing to spend buying an apartment is essentially their $300,000. Their position is that if we're willing to spend that much money helping them, why not just give them the money so they can combine it with their equity and buy what they actually want? I can see how our position might seem controlling. We'll spend $300,000 helping you, but only if we own the property. But to us, there's an enormous difference between investing $300,000 into an asset we own and simply giving away $300,000 of our family savings.
Right.
Our offer still stands. We'll buy a reasonable apartment around the original price, own it, and let them live there very cheaply. If they want the expensive condo instead, that's their choice, but we're not giving them the $300,000. Mm-hmm. Am I the asshole for offering to buy my parents a home, but refusing to just give them the money? And then there's edits.
No.
No.
No, I see where they're coming from.
Nope, nope.
That's a good money move.
Yeah, no. Totally get it. Buying it is just moving their money around to be able to help the parents.
Right.
Compared to giving away $300,000 that they don't see
they'll
anymore.
Never get back. Yeah. That $300,000 is gone.
Oh, that's insane.
So it's almost a third of $1 million. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. And it's I feel like it's one of those moments where like the kids have to kind of parent the parent.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I haven't really been in a lot of scenarios where it's been kind of like that. Like, I'm parenting my parents, but I wonder if it's different too with a lot of money involved.
Mm-hmm.
Because in a sense, from the parents' perspective, they're calling it controlling. And he's like, I get where they could see that that's controlling, but it's like, no, but in the grand scheme of things, I'm not giving away that much money. Mm-hmm. I'd rather invest it. So it like, think about it. Just think about it, you know?
Yeah.
I bet you that's a hard position for OP to be in though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I feel like they were upfront at the beginning. Like, we're doing this because of the investment. So yeah. I don't. And even if they're confused, I think they're saying like, well, maybe we just thought you were going to give us $300,000. I would reiterate, no, that was never the plan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can take it or leave it. I think just leave it at that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I feel like it's a little manipulative.
Yeah.
Because how do you go from, we'll give you $300,000 for this specific apartment to, oh, no, you're just giving us $300,000.
Right. Yeah.
Like, when was that ever?
It was never stated that way.
Yeah. And if you can't afford your house, how do you think you can afford a bigger apartment with more cost? But I've also never been like fond of like parents who allow like the financial burden of taking care of the parents falls on the children. I've never been.
Yeah.
For that at all. Because I understand like needing help here and there, but like you're making poor decisions with the mind frame that your child will save you when it should honestly be the other way. Like no one should make poor decisions, but the parents should be saving the child if anything happens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's been like a theme this episode. It's like the people having like big like financial obligations and just operating off of wants, seemingly. Mm-hmm. Like they want the condo, but it's not necessarily the wisest financial thing to do right in that situation.
Yeah.
I mean, shoot, that would have been a sweet deal. What OPE and them originally agreed to was mm-hmm. you're living in a nicer condo for your retirement place that's super low rent.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know who the owners of the building are, or at least the owner of the condo is. Right. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. And I wonder how they're getting, like, they said they think they can sell the house for $100,000. Like, is that them looking at, like, how much the other houses in the area have? Because you get your property valued.
Maybe. And I'm not really fully sure what a HELOC does. You know what that does?
That's a loan. It's like an equity loan you can get mm-hmm. off of your mortgage to spend it.
Maybe I'm assuming they think that they're gonna get more money back than they would if they sold it. Like, let's say if they sold it for like $500,000 and they're like, well, we probably only have like $100,000 something left, but they're like, no, you guys probably have like $300,000 left on the house. That's kind of what I'm thinking, is maybe they're like, no, you're not gonna get back as much money as you think you're gonna get back because you have so mortgage
much, yeah,
because you have HELOC, because you have penalties on some stuff.
Yeah.
So you're going to be, that money's not all going back to you.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I'm thinking that they're saying, from my understanding, my guess.
Yeah.
That would make sense, because the HELOC, it comes from your equity.
Yeah.
It's like your house is valued at this. You spent this much on your mortgage, so we can loan you this amount because this is technically what you would have if you sold the house.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, if you sell the house, you got to pay that loan back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oof. I honestly don't even want them to agree to the one apartment, because I just feel like they'll like eventually stop paying rent, even if it's little.
It's just a little entitled. Whether it was a misunderstanding or like a purposeful, like you're saying, disagreement to get them to agree to do something else, it just does feel like icky overall, because these are your kids trying to do something, or at least your child trying to do something nice for you with their mm-hmm. partner,
mm-hmm.
and you're seemingly not being grateful enough.
Yeah.
Like, they are willing to try and find a solution to help you get out of the bad situation with your mortgage already.
Yeah.
And somehow it's not good enough anymore.
Yeah.
I feel like a $300,000 apartment condo is going to be a nice, I don't know what condos are going to be. I feel like that's a nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, girl.
Okay, so edits. I want to emphasize that our real fear is that mom will spend another winter living in the basement. It's horrible. Also, they could very well end up homeless. We cannot let that happen. We understand that they will probably be terrible at paying rent. We're basically going to ask for enough to cover condo fees and taxes, and even that might be a challenge. Financially, this is a terrible plan, but the alternative is mom spending another winter in the basement apartment, which we feel terrible about. And then update, this has blown up a bit more than I expected, so I showed this to my partner and we sat down with ChatGPT and came up with a financial plan for ourselves to retire comfortably in 5 years.
Chitty chat.
We are in our early 50s. We will take this to a financial advisor and make it happen. Still going to have to keep a reserve to deal with the parents to keep them from being homeless with their financial decisions catching up with them. But yeah, if they want to just throw away my money, then forget it. I can retire early in comfort instead. Edit, to be clear, ChatGPT was to give us ideas and a timeline of what to do. We do not trust it fully or even very much. We will be taking the plan to an advisor to actually figure out what we're going to do. Not the asshole. Talk about choosy beggars.
Mm-hmm.
Real.
Yeah. I wonder if this daughter's the only child.
Yeah, I wonder that too. Maybe that's why she feels
like responsible.
Obligated.
Yeah. Am I the asshole for telling my coworker to come pick up her child early? So I have a coworker, CW, who I'm pretty friendly with at work. We always talk about trying to find time to hang out more, but it's hard as I work two jobs and also have two kids with autism, so my schedule is pretty packed. CW asked if I could watch her 7-year-old every now and then so her and hubby could get a break. Last night was a trial run to see how she fares in our house, like if she gets along with my 2 toddlers and if she gets overstimulated, etc. Her daughter is also special needs, so she asked me specifically if I could do this and I agreed to the trial. This trial run was described to me as a, we'll drop her off for a little and we'll go grab some dessert nearby like ice cream and come back. Not too long. In my head, I'm thinking, okay, that doesn't sound too bad. I can totally hang out with her for a dessert date. They get to my house around 7 p.m. We chit-chat a little bit about our work day earlier, and then I hear, are you hungry, sweetie? Oh, yes, I'm quite hungry. This is where I start messing up. I did call out, you didn't feed your child before coming over here? Honestly, I'm tired at this point, and I didn't feel like handling confrontation, so I just asked if she would like chicken nuggets. She was also interested in what my daughter was eating, too, so I made her some of that, too. After her parents left, little one was just a joy, and she's so smart. She's normally homeschooled, so she didn't have a lot of interaction with other kids or people in general, so she has a lot to say. I sent her mom a fun little video while we waited for her parents to return. About an hour later, I get a message saying, we're gonna go have dinner. We're at this address. I flash back to earlier when she asked her daughter if she was hungry. Again, I didn't call it out. I just say, that sounds yummy. I was trying to justify it thinking that she had a busy work day while mine was more mild, but I felt a little used. Mm. We were coming up on 9 p.m. By the time I was starting to fall asleep, my work day started at 4:30 and I was wondering when she was coming back. So I finally text her that I'm sorry, but I'm falling asleep and I need to go to bed soon. I get the we're on the way text. Another 30 later, they come back and the energy was different. I let her in. I give her a hug hello, asking how her little date was. She gives me a flat. It was fine. And goes straight to her daughter to get her shoes on. I feel bad because little one did not want to leave, so I stood back and let CW do her mama thing until little one was willing to go. CW said everything was fine after. I asked if she was all right, but I'm having mixed emotions on it. I've started feeling like an asshole for cutting their date short, even though it was meant to be short. They really seemed like they needed the break. My husband said I shouldn't feel like an asshole because I already went above and beyond accepting to do this for nothing in return and feeding their child. What do y'all think?
Your husband's right.
Your husband's totally right.
Yeah.
Absolutely right. I'm confused on why this lady who sounds like has one child would ask a mom with 2 children.
Toddlers
and artistic to watch their one child.
I think so. She was saying that she specifically asked her because her daughter, I think, is also on the spectrum.
Yeah.
And so she was like, you know, maybe we could trial run this because I would, she probably wants somebody who knows.
But like, you're like, I need a break. This lady has 2 kids.
This lady has 2 kids. Well, also in general, it's like you're coming back from the date. That wasn't even supposed to be a date.
Yeah. The trial
you're supposed to get ice cream.
Fake. Yeah, like it's not really, it seems that was fake. Never what it was.
No, yeah.
I'm trying to get free babysitter.
Right. Absolutely. I think that's the full intention.
Yeah.
It's not because I need a break. Well, I guess a break would mean a babysitter, but like it's not just for like 1 hour, you know, quick. Right. It's for hours long.
And OP knows CW, so maybe CW knows that OP is really nice and maybe a little bit of a pushover.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I can bring her by and, you know, I can just kind of update her and she'll... Yeah. Let it go on for as long as possible.
Yeah.
It's
really inconsiderate that like if she works at 4 a.m. and you're not even back until 9, like.
And you didn't even pay her.
No.
For the time.
You're not the asshole anyway.
She's the asshole.
Yeah, taking advantage of.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. That's so diabolical to use the trial run as pay that woman.
Yeah.
Even if it's trial or not, like. There's not a lot of companies that do free training, so why would a trial run for babysitting not be the same?
Literally, yeah.
And it's like, you're definitely the asshole, because you can do all this, you can be like, we finessed her and all this, but then have an attitude with it when you come back.
Oof, mm-hmm. Yeah.
The date, y'all did go on the date, and yeah. You have an attitude, you have the nerve to have an attitude when I went over what I said was going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And apparently to you, I didn't let you guys stay out late enough. This was for like a 20-minute trial run thing.
Well, it was like 3 hours.
Yeah. It was like a long time. Crazy.
And you didn't feed your kid.
But you expected her to do it.
Oh. And they have the audacity. We're going to go out to dinner.
We're going to go eat.
What's your kid going to eat?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dino nuggets. That's actually what my kid's going to eat. Because I think I saw some in your freezer earlier. And she actually really likes those.
Sweetie, are you hungry? Right when you walk in.
Yeah, that's diabolical. Really hungry.
That's a setup from the get-go, man.
Yeah. Top comment, not the asshole. CW used you. She lied. Someone else said she turned your quick favor into hours-long babysitting gig while you were left waiting around, so feeling used is completely fair.
Because they know most people are like, well, I have the kid. I'm not going to do, what am I going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm going to take care of the kid.
And I know you personally, so I would think you would never do this to me.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking you have the best interest at heart. This must be something where it's like, and I have your best interest at heart. So I'm like, you know what? If you're out here this long, then maybe you really need it. I'm just going to keep the baby for a little bit longer. Continuing to take advantage of her goodwill. Like, it's crazy.
But free, yeah. Goodwill at that.
Free.
Yeah, whenever, yeah, I watch a friend's kid, they're like overly like, this is the time. I'm sorry if anything went over. Here's the money and how they feed them, like all, yeah, that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your friends do carry a different level of decorum, though. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess you just can't expect that from everybody.
No. But it's like grimy that, like, that's what was stated and then they just didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
Because what was the relation from OP?
They're coworkers.
So she knows even her work's time.
Ugh.
Bro.
That's true. Yeah, she does.
Then she definitely must have thought she was a pushover because you can only pull this once, I would think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
you
would think there would be now bad animosity in the relationship unless you think the person is a pushover, yeah, and they're not going to say anything.
Hopefully OP realizes that, like, that feeling that she's feeling is a rightful one.
Yeah.
And she listens to her husband not only validate but also confirm, like, yeah, I think she screwed you over in this.
Yeah.
So it seems like she definitely has at least her husband to be like, yeah, no, that was wrong.
Yeah.
What just happened? Maybe over time she'll kind of be like, that was crazy. That was ridiculous. Maybe she'll say something to her. Or she won't be friends with her anymore. Who knows?
I hope so.
That's the story. Yvonne, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
It was really nice to see you.
Yes.
And Sam, love your shirt as always. Brandon, I appreciate the stripes.
Mm-hmm.
And Patreon, we'll see you soon. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Just hit the like and subscribe. Just for that.
Subscribe.